The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Yeshaya Yaffe, Rosh Chabur Beis Medrash Gevaya, and Mechaber Sefer Shevilei Tzion, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This volume has been graciously dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Reb Yehuda Beanstock and families in honor of their parents, Max and Gail Beanstock of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. May the merit of the Torah studied through this volume bring them and their families continued gesunt, nachas, and parnasa berevach ad meya ve'esrim shana.
Ksuvas Chof Tes Amar Aleph begins the third parak, Eilu Nairas Yeshla and Knaf. This parak is also the primary headquarters of the large enjoyable topic of Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh. Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh means that if one becomes simultaneously obligated in two chiyuvim, he only has to do the more stringent one. For example, like the Torah tells us in Parashat Mishpatim, in lo yiyeh asa in onesh yonesh, if there would not be the tragedy which would result in the obligation in a chiyuv misa, then onesh yonesh he would have to pay the money that he is due because of the damage that he did. However, should there be a chiyuv misa, if somebody would get the death penalty for the specific action that he did, he would no longer have to also pay the money that he owes for the deed that he did. Because Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh tells us, he only has to pay the more stringent of the two. Let us take the opportunity to discuss some of the dinim of Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh, specifically the one about a suffik Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh. In other words, what if it's a suffik if somebody has a chiv misa? Does he still have to pay money, or is he also exempt because of the suffik that perhaps he has a chiv misa and this Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh as it pertains to our Mishnah? The Mishnah continues, Eilu Nairas Yeshla and Knas Aval Amamzeres Val Anasina Val Akusis, and so on and so forth. All these women, if you're ma'anis them, you chayev knas. Taisa discusses, what about a goita? If someone's baal anachris, is there also a chiyuv knas or not? And Taisa goes to prove that there isn't from a Gemara in the first parak. Rabbi Akiva Eiger wonders in this chedushim over here, why did Taisa have to bring a raya from the first parak? Why don't we just say the fact that a baal anachris was omitted from our Mishnah, apparently a baal anachris is not chiyuv knas. Otherwise it should have been on our list of those that yesh lan knas, elanayash yesh lan knas, a baal mamzez, baal anatina, it should have said baal anachris. So Rabbi Kivege suggests that Taisus could have proven from there that a nachas obviously does not obligate one to pay knas. Zechter Rabbi Kivege, the reason why Taisus didn't do that is because from Baal Anachas not being listed in our mission, you wouldn't be able to prove that theoretically a Baal Anachas is not chayav knas. Perhaps a Baal Anachas is chayav knas. And that it's not listed in our mission is because there would be a din of kam levi d'rav mineh. Why is that? Because every Baal Aramis, every Baal Agoita, the halacha is that kanoim are poigin boy. And since Kanoam are praying about, which basically means that people that see it and want to be Mekanah Kinnis Hashem Tzavokos can kill the person who's involved in this despicable behavior. So therefore, maybe a Baal Anachas is Chayiv and Knas theoretically. However, it never happens because we always say the din of Kim Levi D'Rav Mineh. Continues Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so you're probably wondering, why then is a Baal Akusis Chayiv and Knas? Akusis also could be Geri Aroyetim, which means that there are not real converts, there are not kosher Gerim, and therefore they should have the same din as a Baal Anachas. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because since numerous Geri Aroyetim from the Kusim were actually Megayer later on, so perhaps there was a conversion which was a kosher convert later on. And then they would have a din of a full-fledged Yid. So then there wouldn't be a din of a Baal Anachas, it would actually be a din of a Baal Yehudis, and there wouldn't be a din of Kanaan Pagan Bay. So since people would not kill a Baal Akusis, they therefore wouldn't be Kim Levi D'Rav Mineh, and therefore it's listed in our mission that it is a Chiv Knas. A Baal Anachris is Kim Levi D'Rav Mineh. However, a Baal Akusis, perhaps she is a Yid, and therefore Kanaan will not be Pagaya Bahen, and the Mela there would not be Kim Levi D'Rav Mineh. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We see from Rabbi Akiva Eiger a couple of very interesting points. Number one, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is assuming a foregone conclusion that Kanoim Poigenboy is a sufficient voltage of a Chiyav Misa which would pater Mammon. In other words, the rule of Kim Levi D'Rav Mineh, as we know it, normally applies by Misas Bezdin, by Misa B'dei Shemayim perhaps, as we'll see later on in the parak, even by Karis, according to some Tanoim. What about Kanoim Poigenboy, which is not the most stringent of Chiyuv and Misa? Does it also pater Mammon? Rabbi Akiva Eiger over here is assuming that it does, and the Hafla in his Chedushim over here assumes the same thing, as does the Shiari Karban on the Yerushalmi here in the beginning of the parak. The Prima Gadam, however, in the Sefer Shoshana Sa'amok and Kal Chafalev, is Nesubik about this. If Kanoim Poigenboy pater Mammon or not. However, number two, which is what I would like to expound on, is that Rabbi Chanan points out that this Rabbi Chanan seems to be a proof, the question we mentioned of Safek Kam Levi D'Rav Mineh, which means Let's say a person does a Safek Chiv Misa at the same time that he does a Maisa that's Mechayiv him to pay money. Do we say, come live with the Rav Minei Safek, and the Safek you wouldn't have to pay because the Maisa Mechaveir Olverai, even though perhaps the Maisa that he did wouldn't be Mechayiv him Misa, but since perhaps it would, so the money that he would normally owe for this action is actually up in the air, and it's Tully, and since it's a Safek Chiv Mamon, we normally apply the rule of a Maisa Mechaveir Olverai. Or do we say that no? Since he did a deed, let's say he broke somebody's window, he burned somebody's haystack, he owes the person the money for the damages. Maybe there was a chiv misa simultaneously, yeah, but maybe there wasn't. So there's a bala chiv for the money, and only a questionable ptur of kam lebed rav minei. So perhaps he should be chayav. So Rav Chanan and Kavitz Shurim over here in Ois Pei Dalet says that Rabbi Kivager seems to hold that a safek kam lebed rav minei is chayav mamon. How is that? Because we see that in the case of Baal Akusis, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying that the scenario is that every Baal Akusis, we're not sure if maybe she became a kosher convert, she became a full-fledged ger later on, and therefore she's a yid, or perhaps she's still a goy. So even if one would suggest that a goy is also included in Knaas, however, when you're Baal a goy, there's Kanaan Pagan boy, and you're Potter. When you're Baal a yid, there's no Kanaan Pagan boy. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, a bad goy, would be Potter because of Kanaan Pagan boy, and hence Kim Levid Ravine. However, a Safek Kusis, Safek Yisraelis, will be chayev in the Knaas because it's a Kanaan Pagan by Misafek. Zakhtar Bachanam, by Sois, we see from here that Rabbi Kivager holds that Safek Kim Levi the Rav Minei would be chayev in Mammon. This is quite perplexing because even though we discussed two different points about whether to be chayev or potter, but at the end of the day, any time there is a question about whether one has to pay money or not, we always apply the rule of Amaita Mecharveya Olav Haraya. And hence over here as well, we should have said that it should be a Safek, and therefore there should not be a Chiv of Mammon. As the Prima Gadim, when he clears this question in the Psicha Kelelis, of Safek Chiv Misa, whether a potter is a Mammon or not, do you apply Amaita Mecharveya Olav Haraya, or do you say that no, there's a Chiv Mammon Vada? The Prima Gadim at the end writes, and the same can be found in the Navi Yehuda in Madura Tinyana Simon and Tess. At the end of the Ramaskal Omnam, he also assumes that Safek Kim Levi Ravine would be under the auspices of the din of Amaisi Mechaveri Olav Araya. In fact, Shita Mekubetes in Baba Kama Samachal from Advais brings from the Rami Sarkasta that with regard to the famous scenario in Baba Kama of Kim Levi Ravine, where one burnt the Godish on Shabbos, since there was a chiv misa for the Sreifa as well as a chiv mamon for the burning of his fellow friend's haystack, the halach is that Kam Levi Ravine says he's only chayiv to steal it for the chilul Shabbos and he doesn't have to pay the money. Zuk Tashita Mekabetes, that is true about whether it was at the same time the burning of the haystack and the chilul Shabbos, or it is not clear if it was, for example, also a scenario where one burns an Eved and a haystack at the same time, so the Eved would be chayev for Sarif as the Eved al Tzricha, and he would also be chayev for burning the haystack for the money of the haystack. Let's say they were burnt at the same time, one only is chayev misa and he doesn't have to pay. So the Shita Mekibetzis adds over there that if it was at the same time, oy she'ein yedua, or it is actually not known if it was simultaneously or not, there would still be a din of Amaisa Mechaveya Olav Haraya that he is potter. So Ramatha Weinberg pointed out from here, as it's brought down in the Yarchan, that we see that the Shita Mekubetzis as well holds that Safek Kim Levi Rav Minei is potter from Mammon. My friend Hilly Jacobowitz showed me this, Ramatha Weinberg, Meshein the Shita Mekubetzis. All in all, we see that the common opinion is that Amaisa Mechaveya Olav Haraya rules. At any time that at the end of the day there's a question about whether one has to pay or not, you say Amaisa Mechaveya Olav Haraya. So why then does Rabbi Kiva Eger assume that Safek Kim Levi Rav Minei is chayiv, as Rebbe Chanan points out, from the fact that he says that Iba, Safek Yisraelis, would be chayiv in Knaas, and would not have the psur of Kam Levi Rav Minei. However, Rebbe Kiveger, on its own merit, L'chayr would not have to be a proof beyond the shadow of a doubt to this concept. And that is because, perhaps, Kanaim Poygum Bay means that Kanaim are able to go and kill him, and that is enough of a reason to exempt him from the Chiv Mammon, just like full-fledged Kim Levi Rav Minei. However, in a scenario where at the end of the day nobody would be able to kill this person because of the fact that perhaps she's a Jewish woman and therefore she is not subject to the Kam Levi Rav Minei, to the Kanaim Poygum Bay, I should say, therefore no one is allowed to kill them. And since no one is allowed to kill him, therefore it's not even a Safek Chiv Mita, there's no Chiv Mita whatsoever, because nobody is killing him. A regular Safek Chiv Mita, perhaps we could say that it's a Safek whether there's a Chiv Mita or not. But a Safek Kanoi and Pregambai, if every single Kanoi that observes this action has to refrain from killing, so there's no Kanoi and Pregambai at all. It's not a Vada Chiv Mita, it's a Safek Chiv Mita, which basically means that it's a Vada Ptur from the Misa, because no one is allowed to participate in this Misa. It's not a Tzofik. It's a Vada non-Chiv Misa of Kanoim Pagambay, and by Kanoim Pagambay, perhaps, it would be governed by the fact that no one's allowed to kill them, that there is no trace of Chiv Misa at all, and that's why Rabbi Kivega is assuming, without a doubt, that one would have to be Knas in such a scenario. However, by a regular Tzofik Chiv Misa of Shabbos, or the likes, maybe Rabbi Kivega would agree that a Safek Chiv Misa would result in a Maisa Nechavel Varaya, like the other opinions we've mentioned. This logic, in fact, is so clear that if in a scenario where the Kanoim would not be able to participate in killing the person, then there's no Chiv Misa of Kanoim fighting by whatsoever, is so clear that it's hard to understand what Rabbi Chanan meant when Rabbi Chanan wanted to prove from here that a Safek Kim Levi Rabbin is Chayiv Misa. Obviously, if the Kanoim have to refrain, then the Chayiv, there's nothing to talk about. There's no Chiv Misa here whatsoever. Perhaps we could explain what Rabbi Chanan meant to prove from this Rabbi Kivei Eger by analyzing a little bit more how Kamlei B'Dravmanei would work by Kanoim Poigenboi. We know that there's a concept called Tamad Rechiskiya, which we'll learn later on the Flamed Hei, that says that even Chayiv Misa Shoigin are also Pata for Moment. That would normally lead us to conclude that Kamlei B'Dravmanei is not only for the actual Oynish of Misa, but a Misa, a deed, an action that one did, which can result in the consequence of a Chiv Misa, is also a significant and a sufficient action that cannot obligate him to pay money as well. That can also be a derivation from the din of Kam Lev D'Ravimine, the way Chizkiyah learns on the Flamenei. That being said, now we have to wonder, by Kanoim Poyga, by any Misa, like stealing a Klisharis, or more specifically Baal Aramis, the gather of the Kam Lev D'Ravimine, is that only because people are able to kill them? Or is it that a Misa that is stringent enough that it could result in getting killed, similar to Roidif, somebody who's running after someone else to kill him, the halacha is that he's a Roidif, and he's also subject to the din of Kam Lev D'Ravimine, that he's putter for monies that he might incur while he's doing this Misa. The same idea over here. Perhaps the Misa, a person who is participating in an action which has the penalty of Kanoim Poigenboi, perhaps that action itself is significant enough that it would not be able to obligate him to pay money. And hence, even if actually, for whatever technical reason, the Kanoim are not going to kill him, perhaps the fact that he's doing this action which could have resulted in Kanoim Poigenboi is enough and sufficient that he shouldn't have to pay money. If that would be the case, then if one is participating in a deed which is a suffix, a question, whether or not Kanoim Poigenboi would apply, in other words, it's a suffix yid, suffix goy, perhaps it would be a suffix chiv misa, and hence a regular good old suffix him levi d'ravine. Perhaps that was what Rabbi Chanan meant when Rabbi Chanan proved from this Rabbi Kivei Eger that a suffix him levi d'ravine is chayiv mamon. An interesting yardstick, if you will, about this question of Kanoim Poigenboi and its kam levi d'ravine is, what if someone is Baal Aramis Betzina? Are they Pater for Mammon or not? The question is that the din of Kanoim Poigenboi is only a Baal Aramis Befarestia. So if somebody is Baal Aramis Betzina, then maybe we would say that no, the Chayiv and Mammon. Or do we say that no, just like Tana Deve Chizkiyah exempts one from obligations of money, when you do a Maisa that's Chayiv Misa, even if you do a Peshegeg, where one is definitely not going to get killed, who has it? If someone is Baal Aramis Betzina, it's the type of Maisa which could have had a Chayiv Misa, albeit only in Befarestia. Or do you say that no, Betzina is much farther removed from Misa than a Misa of Chayiv Misa Shoigin? The Tshuvas Tuv Tam Vadas from Rav Shlomo Kluger in the third volume, the second Chelik, Siman Kuf Nun Tes, he wonders about this, if maybe only before Hestia you would have a Ptur of Mammon because of Kim Levi D'Ravine, but Betzina not. However, if I'm not mistaken, the Prima Godem is specific about this in Shoshana Tzamokim Klal Chafalos. In any event, perhaps this is the question about whether or not one can prove from Rabbi Kiva Eger that a Safek Kim Lev D'Rabmanei universally is Pater for Mammon, is Chayiv for Mammon, or maybe it's only with regard to Kanoim Poigenboi, where a Safek Kanoim Poigenboi would be as if there's no Chiv of Kanoim Poigenboi whatsoever. In related news, in Baba Basra Daf Nun Amud Beis, there's an interesting machlokes between Tosfos and the Rashbam. There is a discussion in machlokes Tanoim about Kinyan Peiros, if it's Kinyan Aguf or not. specifically how it applies to the owner of an Eved. If the owner of an Eved would hit his Eved and the Eved would pass away after 2 days, so if it is his full-fledged Eved, the halacha is that he is exempt, because since the master has a certain amount of rights with his Eved, if he lives for 2 days, it obviously wasn't that much of a deadly hit, and therefore, he's exempt from the Chiyuv Misa for killing an Eved. While if he's not his owner, obviously, any other person who would kill an Eved, is Chiyuv Misa, even if the fellow doesn't die right away. If he dies after 2 days, he's still Chiyuv Misa. So let's say the din is that because of the suffix of Kinyan Peiros or Kinyan Aguf, there's a suffix about whether this was a proper master and hence he's exempt, or perhaps he is not a master and then he is Chayiv Misa for killing this Eved. So the Gemara says, Suffik Nefashis Lahakel. The Rashbam explains, V'shapta Eda V'tzila Eda means that Bezdin should not participate in any Sfeikis, and any time there's a Suffik, whether one is Chayiv Misa or not, Bezdin obviously refrains, because of V'shapta Eda V'tzila Eda, the Torah obligates Bezdin to do whatever they can to save Klal Yisrael from any death penalty. Taisis asks, that why did the Rashbam have to bring the Pasuk of V'shapta Eda V'tzila Eda? Just like we see that Suffolk Mammon is lahakel, like a Maitse Mechaveri Alvaraya, so certainly we wouldn't be able to take away a person's life from him, Misuffolk. So what do you need a Pasuk of a Shafta Eda Vitzila Eda? Many Achrayim, including Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and others, say that a difference between the Rashbam and Taisvis would be in a case of Suffolk Kibbul Evid Ravmine. That if you hold that Suffolk Kibbul Evid Ravmine is Pata for Mammon, then according to Taisvis, one would be Pata for Mammon. If it would be only a Ptur of a Suffolk, just like Suffolk Mammon is Pata, so Suffolk Nefashis is Pata, then the halacha would be that it's a Suffolk Nefashis, he's Pata from the Misa, but perhaps he was Chayiv the Misa, so he would be Pata from the Mammon. However, according to the Rashbam, that Vashavta Eda Vitzila Eda, which means that there's no trace of a Chayiv Misa in a case of a Suffolk, so then one would be Chayiv Mammon. So in other words, if you would assume that Safa Kim Levi Rabbine is Pater from Mammon, according to Taisus it would be Pater. However, according to the Rashbam, it would be Chayiv. I actually wondered about this clear that the Achrayim all make, because perhaps, even if Bezdin has a rule that their way of discerning a Safik is that it's a Ptor Vaday of a Shafta Eda, Vatila Eda, but perhaps the Kam Levi Rabbine would still be a Safik. Because the Misa that happened when he did the Misa that was Machayiv the Mammon and the Misa was a Safik Chiyiv Misa. That the Bezdin has a rule that when a Safik Misa comes their way, they shall exempt them beyond the shadow of a doubt because of a Shafta Eda, Vatila Eda. Who's to say that that Ptor Vaday that Bezdin Paskins would govern that there's no Ptor Mammon besides Kim Levi Ravine? Perhaps the Kim Levi Ravine would still be in place, or at least be a Suffolk, which could pass a Mammon, according to many. And I actually did find someone that suggests this logic, although many Achrayim seem to say unanimously that the Machlekes Rashbam and Taisus is totally in the above question. For a more elaborate discussion of this topic, please see Shvili Tzi and Chelik Beis, Simach of Zion.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.